that is not some false compliment or anything, but you're really the only person when you post something about like lead gen, and that I actually think, okay, I'm gonna pay attention. You know, there are so many people talking about
appreciate that stuff,
but everyone is just regurgitating like stuff they got elsewhere, or it's zero, or there's nothing original, right? It's just the same shit everyone is saying, and you're actually doing interesting stuff, right? And we definitely learned a thing or two from you, and though thanks a lot. I mean, I'm pretty sure your whole content strategy is working out nicely.
Yeah, pretty good.
it's really cool. Yeah, you're doing some awesome shit.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. Sweet. Yeah, let's run it. And then, yeah.
All right. So the first thing I want to talk, I mean, have you already read this new book?
Honestly, I didn't even watch the webinar. I got
me neither. Me neither. No.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then same thing with the books. Like, I mean, it's like the thing, right? It's like, and this is not like a diss on Rose or anything, but like, you know, what are the chances that he's sending more emails than me and doing more outbound than either one of us? You know, it's very unlikely. And so I don't know. I just feel like there's probably like you could probably learn a lot of good of the fundamentals and the core stuff, but like at the end of the day, with the execution and like all the little tiny entrance stuff, like. I feel like I know most of it for the most part. Obviously, there's still stuff to learn, but I don't know. I think it'd be kind of like not the best use of my time to sit there, watch the entire webinar, and then read the entire book and everything of that sort.
Yeah, most of the stuff is really very beginner level. I think, on like you said, like all the technical details, which really could help, are not in there. But one thing I found interesting, I started reading the new book just this morning. And he did like the gym launch thing back in the days, right? And the challenge he ran into when he nearly went bankrupt is that actually like he was running like a performance-based model where he was saying to these gyms, I'm paying for everything. I'm going to bring you new customers. And in return, I'm going to get like the first 6 weeks of what they are paying, right? And then these gym owners did what people do, right? They said to their customers, cancel immediately, refund, and then sign up again. And I'm giving you a 50% discount because they figured they're going to save so much money on that. And of course, that's shitty behavior. But I think it's kind of to be expected because this is like how people are, right? If they see an opportunity, like when he suddenly sends the bill or they see, oh shit, I'm actually going to pay this person now $50,000, they're going to hesitate. And I found that interesting because you're running your agency on a performance-based model. And we also did some performance-based work. We're still doing it, but learned some very interesting lessons that are, along the lines of what Alex Omosi is describing with his performance elbow.
Yeah.
Still work. And I saw you talking about it, like hiring a contract enforcer and like how you treat when people not pay. So I mean, obviously you've experienced this and you're experiencing this a lot because you have 100+ clients on a performance basis. That must be crazy. Like when you, at the end of the month, prepare these invoices and then I'm pretty sure like you have discussions with at least 50% of them, right? About like what actually gets billed.
Yeah, no, we it's actually kind of funny though. So like we actually don't run into that problem too much as of like, you know, clients like, you know, wanting to not pay the invoice or we have to like really chase them. Like I would say like once every quarter we run into a scenario where a client might be like, you know, I need to speak to someone about these leads that you're invoicing for because I don't think they're qualified. If that's the case, like best scenario to ever, and like those conversations are probably the worst conversations. They're so emotionally draining because it's like, you know, we agreed at this at the beginning, you signed an agreement and now you're coming back and you're fighting this. And like, you know, we did great work and now you're wanting us to not get rewarded for that. Right. And I hate those conversations. There's nothing more than I hate than those conversations. And so what I did was I went on Upwork, found a paralegal that is kind of like in a way our contract enforcer, our legal representative. Any one of those conversations that come up with their CSMs, they don't even deal with it because it's an emotional drain for them as well. They simply send it to our part-time contract enforcer and they get to have the conversation. And in those conversations, it's black and white because at the end of the day, we sign an agreement that walks through every single thing. And then we simply tell them, hey, if you guys don't want to pay the invoice, fine. Well, you know, I'm not going to send them to collections just because unless it's like a really big invoice, for the most part, it's typically not. But we'll just say, hey, you know, what we're going to have to do is part ways. And you're not going to have to work with a lead gen agency that works on a pay-per-view model. You know, good luck. And we're just part ways and just keep it super simple. But yeah, honestly, like, you haven't ran into too many problems. It's actually funny this last month. And I think this is like, you know, think summer is kind of taking up. Business is slow for a lot of clients, things like that. We did have a lot of cards bounce. So we have like automatic payment set up. So like, we have a pretty cool automation where it'll, at the end of the month, look at how many leads we generate for the month, how much we're charging them per lead, and then automatically charge their card on file for the amount of leads that we delivered. And this last month, we had a lot of cards fail. Next right now is we're hiring our first like finance director. And so this will be one of the tasks that I kind of give to him to make sure he's following up on them, making sure invoices get paid. Cause I haven't done that yet. And I'm like looking at our outstanding invoices in Stripe. And I'm like, okay, you know, I probably should email them. It's kind of like a nuisance to do, but we'll get to it eventually. But yeah, there's so many pros and cons to the like performance model versus non-performance model. You know, I think I'm making a pretty good decision, but only time will tell. And so I'm excited to see us go for the next 3-5 years and see if we do change our model at all. But as of right now, I think the way we position it, the way we run it, it works out to our advantage in almost every way possible. So I think it, and obviously it puts the clients in a good spot as well. But yeah, that's kind of how I'm thinking about it.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, when it's working, obviously no reason to change anything. I just like that a retainer is very clean, right? In terms like you're getting the money up front, and when someone is not paying, you're not doing any work. And in contrast, obviously, when someone is not paying, you just fire them. But at the same time, you already paid for like all the infrastructure and all the upfront work. You put in a lot, and usually this drags out for a while. So as you said, it's primarily like emotionally draining, whereas we found that retainer is more like everyone is happy. Because you know exactly, and the challenge is that when you're getting clients amazing results, like the bill is going to be huge, right? And this kind of is like a bummer kind of for them. So you can't, it's not as if it's a pure retainer, so they can really celebrate with you. But I mean, as you say, I mean, obviously pros and cons, and it's definitely like what we found. Obviously, it's so much easier to close clients, right, on a performance model, like.
Yes.
That's the very obvious upside.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. I think the sales process is the easiest, but it's also like one of those things where you have to be diligent in your sales process and not be greedy. It's like, you know, you could take on, you know, 50 plus, you know, if you told me, hey, you know, I want to see you hit 1,000 plus clients in the next 30 days, I seriously think I could do that. But it's like, fulfillment would suffer, as well as like you gotta know like who you shouldn't sign, and for the most part you need to turn away like, you know, almost 50-75% of the people that come through the door, because if it's not a good fit, they're probably not gonna get the greatest results. Well, they're just like too new to even start the cold email process. So yeah, I completely agree with that. But
how are you doing due diligence? Because I mean that's probably the biggest factor when it comes to actually like not wasting anyone's time and money, actually filtering out the non-fit clients beforehand. I'm very curious, like, what signals did you find that tells you, okay, this is someone we should be working with?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we did is we had like a blacklist. And when I say blacklist, it's like a list of clients in specific industries or specific offers that we just won't work with anymore, because it's so hard to get results in that space. So like a good example would be like, if someone's doing, like it's a brand new agency, that 1 year into their start, it's a one person team, and they're selling Facebook ads to e-commerce businesses, and they have no real offer. They're, you know, retainer, or they're, you know, saying something generic, right? And if that's the case, we're not going to take them on, because we know it's overly competitive in that space and it's not going to work. And, you know, they're going to maybe get one lead a month, and that's not what we strive for. So like, yeah, it's just, and you only learn this through experience and kind of taking on a lot of clients in the beginning. It's like, you have to figure out which ones can you deliver for, which ones work out best, which ones work out worse, and then kind of build a decision tree around that. And then the other things we'll do is, and this is a good question to ask a lot of clients, but, you know, ask them, hey, are you like, how many appointments are you guys booking right now per month? And if it's a relatively low number, then, you know, like there's probably something there. If they've been around for like, you know, 3+ years, and entire business is built around referrals, either they just haven't tried Outbound, or they have, and they just can't get results because they have no true like product market fit. They're selling something that literally nobody wants. And I think we've seen enough offers to know, you know, which one they are. And so we're able to kind of say on the call, like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good fit. you know, obviously there are sometimes, I'm not running the sales book myself, but there are times where, you know, we may take on a bad fit and we'll instantly regret it. And, you know, we might even refund like right after that onboarding book and we're realizing, oh, wait, wow, this is not going to work. And we've had, you know, 3 to 5 of those just like this year where like, you know, they come in, we've done the onboarding, we've done the entire setup. And, you know, we're starting to realize, oh, wait, like his expectations of what we're doing does not align with what we want. And like his offer is way too much. So yeah, I just gotta diligent about who you sign on and like be fast to cut off who you know won't perform and thinks the best sort. So it's like, it's pretty cool. Like you gotta, when you're running a performance agency, I feel like you gotta really think about like the financial model a lot better, right? Like how can you make sure that you never lose money on a deal? How can you make sure that you're profitable every single month? How can you like structure everything in a way that it just aligns with what you want to do and how you want to go and building out all these metrics and stuff. That's been kind of like the fun thing and things that we just like learned over time. But yeah, it's fun. It's just different. You got to like kind of think outside the box. So yeah, I don't know. It's pretty fun, like doing it day to day.
Yeah, that's funny because it's actually exactly the same story for us, right? In the beginning, you just say yes to everyone and then you quickly learn like where can you actually produce results, right? And the main thing is if it's like super commoditized, it's almost impossible to get them results. And then it's just not worth their time or our time. Like when you're working with a CRM software, right? I mean, everyone exactly. knows that CRM softwares exist and like what the different options are. And unless you have something truly unique worth talking about, then don't even bother to run outbound. You probably should do like some branding or whatever to pull people in, but not there. Yeah, I'm not outbound. It's simply the wrong channel, right?
Yeah, 100%. Maybe 10 to 15 different types of like offers that are like that. Like another one I would say is like, and this one's not impossible, but it's a lot harder with the way we run outreach is like mobile apps. Like, you know, the agencies that create mobile apps, like running outbound for that. Since there is no real like, you know, end solution, it's customized every single time. It's like, how do you kind of build messaging that resonates with, you know, people at scale? So that one's always been kind of like a difficult one to get consistent leads. And then, yeah, there's just like a whole bunch. Oh, and then the other one would be like the regular IT management company that are like local to you. Those are like impossible. And when I say impossible, it's not impossible. It's just like with us, like the way we run our stuff, it's impossible. But like if you were to build it internally and just like focus on like hyper scaled volume, yeah, of course, like things are going to fall into your laps. But like we're not going to do, you know, millions of emails for clients per month or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and for us, I think one of the biggest and best signals has been if people have done cold outbound before, because I find one of the most frustrating things when working with clients, if they don't understand really what it is about, how it works. And then I think the volume thing is super key, right? Because you can do like cold outbound by just sending 2 emails a day, right? This is one way to play this. Then there is like the crazy hyper volume game which is basically spamming, right? And I think we both are sitting somewhere in between where we are trying to be targeted, but still running at a decent scale. And frankly, not everyone understands this, right? That like we are not doing the one-on-one, like we are personalizing and everything, but yeah, it removes a lot of headaches for us if people actually tried doing it before so they can actually appreciate the work we are doing, right? And understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things too. It's like, and I wish like I started off not like posting as much of like our automations and stuff. Cause like, I feel like we have a lot of clients that come in and they're like, oh, you guys just click buttons and then everything gets done. And it's like, yes, technically, but you know how long it took us to get here? And like this process is hard, you know? But yeah, I think a lot of clients are just like, oh, like just click a couple buttons and they'll be done and get to it. Like you should produce results. And we're like, ah, I mean, that's not how it works. And so yeah, it's always one of those things we got to educate a client.
Yeah. How much, where are you currently on the spectrum between like doing generic for everything, for everyone, and like doing extremely custom stuff for every single client? Like, where do you see your agency right now on the spectrum?
I would say it's like, it's in between, right? Like we've worked with enough clients to know like, okay, like this is what we did. We basically built up this playbook for like, okay, how would we run like specific offers or specific campaigns that kind of have like a similar angle. And so like most of these campaigns are a lot harder to create because it's just like an extra step of like sourcing the leads and things of that sort. And so like if we're working let's say we take on a Facebook ads agency that works in e-commerce businesses, we know that we can't just run our regular, you know, bold leads from a bolo, write some good copy and send them emails. We know that won't work. It'll maybe generate one lead max, right? And so if that's the case, we got to use our playbooks, and our playbooks might have some like additional thing where we're able to kind of like, let's say, pull all the followers of Shopify or on LinkedIn, right? And then filter that even down. And then we can come in with the tagline of like, hey, I saw your company was falling, or I saw that you were following Shopify or LinkedIn, thought it made sense to reach out. And then kind of come in with those like little intro lines, or just kind of having like those really good angles. And when we do that, you know, we'll convert more, but it's just like a lot harder to kind of get like the entire follower list and doing a filtering and everything of that sort. And so, yeah, it's like, I would say it just really depends on like if the client's working in a competitive offer, if we're going to have to do like a lot more extra work to get them the results that they want. And so that's kind of how I think about like how far we'll go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think, very similar for us. We have a lot of clients where the targeting is kind of generic, right? And this is awesome. And basically we can also just push buttons. I think you have similar systems. Yeah. And it's pretty straightforward. And then we also, what we like to do is do like generic, just to have the volume that we need. But we also like to do like a little cherry on top, do something like you described, be more, a bit more creative, run little experiments on top just to see what happens. And frankly, a lot of the times you notice that the very creative and interesting stuff is actually not performing that well. Like it always, like a lot of these stuff is a cool story, but usually this is actually not a game changer, because people either care or they don't, right? And there is only so much you can do with on the lead gen side. And I also saw you talk about this, like where things are going, right? Like the whole lead gen part is only one piece of a much bigger puzzle, right? And if the other pieces are not there, right? If they don't have a proper page, case studies, and everything there, then it's so much harder, right? Also, and I'm curious, like what are you doing? Are you planning to expand in that direction? Because I definitely feel like if we had a bit more control over some of these variables, we could do so much more, right? And a very easy thing is that clients, like we know that when you can offer something that is not a straightforward ask, you want to book a demo, right? You want to hop on a call. It's so much easier to start a conversation and then provide some value, build some trust. And then after talking to people for a while, you can actually go on a call, right? But sometimes that's not possible, right? Because it's actually the clients who have to prepare these sales assets and be willing to provide value for free, whatever. And I'm just curious, like, are you doing anything in that direction, or you're just doing like filtering before getting these clients on, only to work with clients who actually understand the value of doing this? So how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's kind of a mix of both. Like what I would love to do in the future, I don't think we have the bandwidth to do this right now. And I think it'd be a lot harder to execute, but I'd love to be able to kind of like build out the clients. I'd love to help them script an ESL and put that on the home page, you know, help them, you know, really have like the case studies written out. And, you know, you could kind of like productize this in a way, like you could, but it's just like one of those things where it's like, you have to ask the client to do something and they're just going to take forever on it, no matter what, right? Specifically, if it's like a video, like they're going to think, oh, this video has to be like, you know, cinema production or something of that sort. And it's like, not really, like you just, it's B2B. It doesn't need to be all like cute and, you know, like it doesn't need to be like the next like movie like thing, right? And so like if you go to go high level, for example, you could create individual sub accounts for each client, and you don't have to pay extra for the sub accounts, and you could clone landing pages. And so imagine the edge is like one landing page template. All you had to adjust was like the client's logo, maybe their colors, and I just put in like a VSL that they record for you. And then you use that as like the domain that it redirects to rather than their home website. And then you're kind of able to take them through that funnel. And then you kind of help the client build out like their pre-call flows, the reminders, like, you know, kind of build out. And then we do CRM integrations, but we don't do like really helping them build out to where it should be. But like, I would love to do all of that eventually for like all clients coming in. Cause it's the night and day difference. Like we have clients and it's crazy. Like they're literally running the exact same offer. Right. And in this case, it's SEO, right? SEO. both clients, right? One has great landing page, social proof, large agency, great reviews, like everything of that sort. The other one kind of like a ghost on the internet. And the difference, it's insane. It's literally like, you know, 15 to 20 leads different per month with the same amount of volume. And that's like, it's kind of mind blowing. Cause like, I think a lot of clients don't understand that, you know, and they don't understand that. Oh, like if I do have all the sales assets built out, if like, you know, everything kind of works in tune with that, you know, and it's the same thing with us. Like, I don't think we would be at 100 clients if I wasn't posting online and, you know, I have like a lot of content out there. Like our outbound does great, but like at the end of the day, like you just close those, like your close rate increases, your sales cycle will decrease as well. Just because you're established, right? Whenever you have like content out there and you're able to really speak in depth about things. And so I just wish clients would realize that. Like the one type of client I would always advise anyone to just kind of like not like avoid is like the person who's running it as a side project, right? Like we get a lot of people that will hop on calls with us and like their business is like, they don't have a company LinkedIn page. Like they're not even showing that they're the owner of that company. On their own LinkedIn profile, the website is literally just one word. And it's just a side project for them, right? And they just want to figure out how to get leads. And those are the worst customers to get on. There's just no way you're going to get like meaningful success with cold emails because there's thousands of competitors to them that have all those things built out, right? And they're also doing outbound. So how are you going to stand out, you know? And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those eye-opening things to kind of like, you need to teach clients, but it's something you need.
Yeah, I think like the term for this is shadow funnel, right? You have like your core funnel, obviously, where you want to lead people in the right directions through the conversation and whatever. But then what is really happening in the, and when people get the message, they check the website, right? They Google the name, they want to see who is this person, what is this website? And I mean, it's also kind of an attribution problem that I think we are running into, right? Because I mean, this happens all the time, right? We email prospects and instead of answering our email, they just book a call on the site. I mean, this is more critical for you, I think, when you have like the performance-based model, because I think it's very hard to get attribution right. And if you would have more control over that, I mean, that would be a big, big win also in that regard. But I mean, also for us, I mean, we should be getting credit, right, for the work we're doing. And I think definitely like it's this whole sophistication thing, right, where people are becoming more skeptical and actually do their own research, right? And you have to adjust, right? I think maybe 10 years ago, it was different and people were just replying to emails and didn't do their own research. But nowadays, they definitely do, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm the same way too. Whenever I get a cold email, like the first thing I do is I look at their website, you know, copy and paste the back end of the email, and I'll look at the website and kind of see. And usually they'll have a LinkedIn page at the bottom that I can go look and find the founder. Like that's how I work. And I assume that's how like everyone that we're emailing works as well. And so you just got to have those things in place.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I would be also be very curious about how we handle this, because I think, again, that's one of the big, big challenges is like managing expectations, right? And I think one smart thing you're doing, obviously, when you have the onboarding call and realize, oh no, they don't have realistic expectations, better to part ways right away. But I'm just curious, like, do you do anything beyond that or how do you handle it? Because I mean, a big, big thing is impatience. Right. And again, people don't really understand it in a lot of cases that it takes iterations, right? And frankly, not in every single case you have a proven playbook, right? Because it's something different. And then you have to actually iterate and it can actually take a while before really the results start trickling in. And also like, I think cold outreach is a pretty slow channel because like trust is zero in the beginning, right? And you have to actually like hold these conversations, nurture them, and people come back like after talking to their colleagues and all that stuff. And I'm just curious, like how do you handle this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, we do a couple of things. So the first is like we have on our onboarding form, we ask the client like what would make this relationship successful? And they'll tell us like, oh, like 25 leads per month, you know, someone like say 100 leads per month. And then one of our other questions is like, how many leads are you currently generating per month? And they're like, oh, we're generating zero. And their expectation is 100. Then our CSMs know to get on the onboarding call, whenever we go through that onboarding form, to be like, hey, you know, this is not really realistic. You guys are generating endpoints yourself, so we got to figure this out from scratch and kind of realign them on the expectation side. So that's like a big one that we've learned has helped us a lot. And then it's also kind of just like, you know, we've done enough campaigns pretty much like every vertical where we can find out, like, what is the average email to lead ratio? Like how many emails we have to send to generate a single lead? And we're able to kind of align that with their expectations. Be like, hey, you know, you work for e-commerce and, you know, this is like across all the clients we've ever worked with, Aptor made e-commerce for this offered, you know, our average email to lead ratio is this. And this is what we typically send per month on average for clients. And so we're going to, you know, get you this result, right? And so like, you're able to kind of give them the real expectations for what they sell. And that's going to help us manage the relationship in a proper way. And this is where I think the performance model really works. Because like with lead gen, like you said, like your clients are always not going to trust you. I think that they're going to think you're just not doing anything right when they don't see leads immediately. And you know, with Facebook ads is different. Like you turn it on and you're going to start generating leads immediately, right? And so when you're working on performance, like you get to position everything more like a partnership. You got to say, hey, damn, like we didn't generate leads versus like, hey, I didn't generate leads, right? Because at the end of the day, like we get paid if we generate the leads. And so being able to come in with like that kind of like that way of positioning things helps a lot in the relationship by saying like, oh, like, you know, this is a loss for you just as much as it is for us that we're not making this campaign work. And kind of taking like that entire A1 route. And I think a lot of clients will also sympathize with us, like, because then they realize, like when they're starting to see the responses and they see a lot of people just say, hey, I'm not interested and things like that. And they're not seeing many people say unsubscribe. Then they really know like, oh, maybe what I'm selling is something that people genuinely just don't want. And then they start to sympathize with those like, damn, like, these guys are doing a lot of work. And I'm not holding my end of the deal because my product sucks. You know, and we've had a lot of situations like that and it's much easier to control and kind of like run whatever it's that's that way.
Yeah. I think like, lead per email send is such a good metric. And we are doing the analysis exactly looking like and judging. This is how you judge campaigns, right? Looking how many leads, qualified leads are generated per email send. So how do you do the whole transparency thing for clients with the negative replies? Because I think you do like the handoff process, right? Where you have positive replies, then you talk to people and when they are ready for a meeting, you hand them over and this is what you bill. But we also found that actually to manage expectations and show that we're actually doing work, even when results are kind of slow to trickle in at some point, it's very useful to give them some visibility into like the replies that are coming in beyond the good stuff, like the handoff. So how do you handle this?
Yeah. So what we're planning to do going forward is right now we already tracked like we basically separate unsubscribes and uninterested. And we do all the tagging inside of front and we're able to like kind of roll that up for a campaign. And so, you know, we kind of tell them the onboarding poll, like, hey, if our unsubscribes are really high or are above or not interested, that typically means that like, A, they're getting too many cold emails or B, the cold email reads like an automated email and they can see that. And so that's why a lot of them are saying unsubscribe. But then if you get like a lot of like people that are just saying, hey, I'm not interested or this is not a good fit for me, then you know that, hey, there's something wrong with the offer, the solution that we're selling. So we need to figure out how we can reposition it or go after a new industry. And so like when you're kind of like training them on that and like, and it's kind of hard, like you can say all these things on the onboarding flow, but then like they just forget it right after. But it's just like the reiteration of like kind of telling them like, hey, like the not interested is super high. Like all these guys are just not interested in your product, but you got to figure out how to reposition everything. And those are typically the clients that, you know, we'll have to cut in, you know, the next 30 to 60 days, because like, it's not going to be beneficial for the rest of the
team. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think the distinction is clever, right? We're also doing the labeling. We're using Missive, not Front, and we are doing the labeling, but I think the story around it is very important, right? If it's the unsubscribes are on us, the not interested are on you, right? That's the gist of it. And if you can communicate that effectively, I think it can go a long way, right? So
I agree.
I think the time is almost up because I'm on the free version of Zoom and I love that it's like the forcing function, you know, we can't go over time. Is there any last questions you have for me? I was just asking you and you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I guess one last question, like what's your end goal with the agency? Like, where do you want to be in a year and how far are you going to take this?
Yeah. So we actually, we started kind of niche, like with Damgood Leads, right? And but then we bought the domain, and with the domain, our ambitions got bigger. So we would really love to expand beyond Legion. And because I would love to help every single client win, but oftentimes we are already doing everything we can, right? We are iterating like crazy, doing really creative stuff and bringing great people to their door. But if they can't close them, right? Or if there is anything else going wrong, it's so frustrating. And I really would love to figure out how to help people as much as possible, right? And there are a lot of cool things you can do. And I think one thing is what you described, where you actually take some control over the funnel, but you can also really help them build out their sales process, right? Do some consultant work there, which can go a long way and help them hire the right people and become more deeply integrated with some of them. I think this is where I see things going for us.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's awesome. Yeah. I think like all the Legion agencies that want to stay in the space, like they will have to do that in the next like 2 years, because it's just going to keep getting more competitive. And it's like, you got to figure out what can you do. That is usually extra work, but it's like, you have to do it to kind of help your clients stand out, because otherwise they're just another email in the inbox. So yeah, that's something I think, you know, I'll have to figure out in Q1 of next year, or maybe Q4 of this year. But yeah, it's definitely like a huge lift in what we'll do.
Yeah. You posted this funny meme about like your favorite Legion guru on a Sunday, right? Where he's freaking out whether to continue with his Legion agency that's losing money or start selling a cork for $27. And I think that's spot on, right? Because I mean, getting started is pretty easy, right? You can close a few clients by making crazy promises. And I think you're also seeing this in sales calls or when you're talking to people. They say, yeah, these guys are telling us we are sending 10,000 emails and they are charging $500 per month. Like, why are you so expensive?
Yeah,
sure. These guys can try it. But when I then check their website after like 2 months, they are gone, right? They no longer exist.
Yeah.
And there is a certain level where, I mean, most people start stagnating or start to notice that shit is actually hard, right? And I think, I don't know where you feel like, have you broken through that plateau or?
Yeah. You know, so I used to think that running a course would be like the way that I wanted to go to, right? And I sort of realized like, I really don't want to work with people on customer support, because that's what most course businesses is. It's just customer support and holding them accountable and stuff. And I don't want to do that. I want to build operations, I want to build systems, I want to build a team. Like that's not the spot to me, not a course. And at the end of the day too, like courses, they only have like a year lifespan. So it's like, I'm going to put the time into building a course. Why not just put that time into building, like, you know, and I'm not trying to say course isn't a real business. You know, there's a lot of people that work really good ops around course businesses, but like, why not just put that time and effort into building an agency that lasts a while? And I don't know. I feel like anyone that has like a lead gen course kind of thing, they've never grown their agency past like 10 clients. They've never grown their agency to hit more than like 20 to 30K MRR max, right? And it's just like, it's just hilarious to see them like teach like how to run an agency or how to do this and that. I don't know. It's crazy.
Sorry, the Zoom is going to kick us out in a second.
No worries.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking
your time. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Yeah.
Really enjoy it.
Really good time. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
Have a good